I've got a word today that I believe is one of the pillars. There have been some words coming forth at the start of this year that have been some of the pillars that we need in our lives in order for us to lay hold of the blessings and breakthroughs that God has for us in our year of Jubilee. You know, last week's message, the 11 o'clock that our pastor preached, if you've not yet heard it, please do. It is such an important message, you know, and there have been some messages this year that have been some of those pillars. And I really believe that the message that God's given me for today is one that if we will lay hold of it, and if we will decide to live our lives this way, and if we will ask God to help us grow into maturity in this area, we aren't going to miss anything that God wants to do for us during this year. And just by way of introduction, so we're in our year of Jubilee. God has things, and I've heard it the world over expressed in different ways, that this is a year when God is wanting to release his promises and his blessings into the lives of his people. And, you know, we in this year, God wants to do some extraordinary things. Amen? Amen? If you're believing for God to do some mighty things in your life, just wave at me. Wave at me. Right. So we're going to go on a bit of a journey, and we'll know where we're going within about 5 minutes, but bear with me. So God had a plan in the Old Testament for his people. He said, I want to give you the promised land. I want to give you your own land. I want you to know this is home. This is where we belong. This is ours. And even before the people existed, you know, God had a plan and a promise for your life before anyone even knew that you were going to be in existence. And before the children of Israel even were born, because even before Jacob was born, who became Israel, you understand? Way before that, God said to Abraham, and it's in Genesis 15, verse 18b, he said, to your descendants, I have given this land. I love it. I have given. It was already being expressed as a past tense. God's already, you know, when God promises, it's a done deal. Say done deal. You know, when God says it, he means it. And so he said to Abraham, your descendants are going to live here. It's theirs already. When we lay hold of God's promises, they're already ours. Are you hearing me? It's just a case of obtaining them by faith. Now then to Moses, the man who God was going to use to take the people of Israel, who are all now born, And we're all living in captivity. Anyone felt like you're in captivity? In other words, captivity represents when we can see the promise, but it feels quite far off. Are you hearing me? And so God said to Moses, and this is Exodus 6:8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham. So he's taking that promise he gave to Abraham. He's promising it yet again. He didn't have to, but he is. And then, you know, there's a few bits in between. And then he goes on to say, and I will give it to you as an inheritance. Say, it's my inheritance. It's my inheritance. So God reaffirmed his promise. He confirmed it. And in Exodus 13:5, he even told them a bit of what the land would be like. You know, he said it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, all the promises of God are good. It's not just that he'll give you something, but he'll give it and it will be good. You know, it's not just any old job. It's a good job. You know, it's not just any old marriage. He promises a good marriage. Are you hearing me? You know, it's not just any old gift. It's a good gift that comes down from the Father of Heaven. You know, and so he's saying it's going to flow with milk and honey. Haven't got time to go into it, but if you've ever heard our pastor teach about the prophetic, there's often two parts to it, because there'll be a bit which can be confirmed easily, and then the bit which you have to really have your faith out there for. Okay, now just bear that in mind. So often when the prophetic comes, so I've had so many prophetic words, and part of it was like either it almost instantly comes to pass, and it gives me the assurance the rest is coming. Yeah? So they know about this land. It's ours, and it flows with milk and honey, right? So then, later, this is still Moses' time. He sends out, you know the story, 12 spies to go look at the land. And they get there, and I'm reading from Numbers 13, verses 27. And I'm going to just chop some bits out just to get to the point quickly. But this is the 10 of those spies speaking. And they say this. They say, we went to the land. It truly flows with milk and honey. Let me stop there. In other words, God confirmed his word. They could see it. Wow, yeah, it flows with milk and honey. It's exactly what he said. There's the bit of so often what God gives us that's just straight away confirmed. And then they said this, nevertheless, verse 28, the people are strong and the cities are fortified. And in Numbers 13, verse 31, it says, the men said, we are not able. We are not able. They're stronger than we are. You see, a promise came. It was confirmed. How many of you just know deep on the inside that God's promised you some stuff? And everything looks like it's an impossibility. But you know deep down that God's promised. Now, let me tell you what the enemy will always do. He will always throw doubt at you. But I want to make a statement that I am asking you to remember. Doubt will come as thoughts. Doubt will come in all sorts of different directions. But listen, do not let doubt out of your mouth. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say it. Don't let doubt out of your mouth. You see, the people, these 10 people, they probably even talked on the way back. Oh dear, you know, who knows how many of them immediately were in unbelief. You see, doubt becomes unbelief when it resonates, when we talk about it, when we dwell on it. You know, and you see, there's something we need to do. What did Jesus do when temptation was thrown at him in those 40 days of prayer and fasting? You know, stuff came at him. Don't you think that Jesus wasn't tempted to doubt? You know, don't think that Jesus wasn't tempted, because the Bible says he was tempted and tested. Therefore, he had to overcome, just like you and I have to. But what did he do? He spoke back at every word of doubt spoken to him. He talked back at that doubt. He replied to doubt. You know, I remember something, I can't go into it right now, but at the start of the year, you know, really early on in the year, and a trip that I'm making later this year, and suddenly there was like contention around it. And I remember just feeling all this, oh no, not this again. Oh no, I'm not back fighting this same old, you know, ever felt like, oh gosh, no, it's too early on in the year for this. But I remember something rising up on the inside, and I said, no. I spoke out loud to my circumstances and I said, no. This is my year of Jubilee, and this will work together for my good. You know, we've got to learn to train ourselves that our tongues may be working for us and not against us. You know, I honestly believe, I don't know how long my husband would think it took, but you know, when he and I met, I had no foundation in faith. I loved God with all my heart. You know, I knew the Bible, all that stuff, but I had no foundation really on what it means to be a woman of faith. And for years, what he did was train me in this area of what I allowed out of my mouth. You know, and he would, you know, in one season I remember when I wanted to go, oh my goodness, this job's too much for me. He would sit me down at breakfast and say, what have you got beginning with F? I would go, favor. And I would let those words, I am surrounded by favor. You know, where it says in the book of James about bridling the tongue. And I think that the translators have done us all an injustice with the word they use, because they said that only a perfect man can tame his tongue. Do you know that word perfect also means mature? Yeah. It also means complete. It's the same word that's translated in James chapter 1 as complete and mature. So really what that is saying in the book of James is that bridling our tongue is really the sign of maturity. It's a sign of stepping over from childhood and from adolescence into, you know, a level of full grownness in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a reason why I'm here, because you see, there's a lot goes on when we speak. But first, here we have, I want you to remember this story. We have promises that came through Abraham, prophet of God, through Moses, a prophet of God. But then the people allowed negativity and doubt and unbelief out of their mouths. And I want you to hear what God said as a result of that. Now, thank God we live under the new covenant. We're in the dispensation of grace. But hear the heart of God about doubting, unbelieving words, okay? Because this is what the Bible says. And the Lord, and I'm reading, this is, Deuteronomy 1, 34. And it says, and the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath. Not one of these men shall see the good land. Now, you see, you've got to remember, he didn't break his promise because he said, your descendants. But he made a decision, which was this. I can't bring people who will not fight that good fight of faith into the promised land. You see, to get into the promised land, we have to be able to fight. To lay hold of our promises, there is a fight. And God was knowing this land and this promise is too important. And so he made a decision, which is this group, this entire generation, won't enter the land. You know, God wants us to obtain every promise that he has given us this year. He doesn't want us to get them in 10 years. The ones for this year. Say this year.
This year.
There is stuff that God wants to give you this year. Say this year.
This year.
It's so easy to forget that faith is now. It always says now faith, again and again. You know, we need to believe for it now. But you see, we need to make sure that our prayers in the prayer closet line up with our confession when we exit our prayer closet. Does that make sense? You know, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I bring all my bills to you. Lord, I didn't expect these. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would pay these bills for me. Lord God, send provision. Send what I need. Thank you, Lord God. You're faithful. I trust you. I'm so grateful. Then we exit the prayer closet. And then, you know, we speak to a friend on the phone. Oh, my goodness. I'm in terrible debt. And it's going to be awful. And we're going to be kicked out of the house. Are you hearing? You see, God wants what we say in our prayer closet, and I'm going to give you some really good reasons why in just a moment, to align with what we say. You know, there is a difference between being honest with God about what we're feeling and what we're going through with doubt and unbelief. Completely different things. Now, you see, this is the bit I want to get to. You know, we all know the scripture that says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our tongues will either bring destruction or they will bring life. Not only in other people's lives, but in our own. And this is what I want to get to. You see, there are invisible beings listening to every word we speak. Invisible beings. Now, I want to ask for some help. Please, Lunetta, if you would come here first. Now, Vanessa, because of your clothing, I'm going to ask for your help, please. Purely chosen because you are wearing one of my favorite colors. Right. So, here we have an angel, the angelic. Now, purely clothing color. Forgive me, Vanessa. a wonderfully, her face is the same color, which we rejoice. We rejoice because it helps the illustration. So, you look wonderful. And Kamau, please. This is a really important principle. Turn to your neighbor and say, invisible beings are listening to your words. Angels first. If we can have Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20 up on the screens. You see, the Bible says that angels hearken to the voicing of his word. That's the King James. In the New King James, it says, angels heed the voice of his word. So you see, there's a difference between just his word in writing and his word that is spoken. Now, who is going to give voice to the word of God? Who?
We are.
We are. Turn to your neighbor and say, I give God's voice word, God's word voice. Yeah? So you see, let me explain how this works. And please, the book of the month, Angels on Assignment, it will just transform your understanding of the angelic. So you see, here I am in my prayer closet first. And I'm saying, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for my children. I pray, Lord God, that you would do a work in their hearts and lives. Father, I pray for your protection. Ask for the right friends. You know, I remember, let me use that as an example. My daughter, before she went into secondary school, you see, my son is quite self-contained. He is less influenced by other people. He's a classic introvert, and by that I mean he gets his strength from within, his motivation from within, not from others. I'm an extrovert. In other words, I obtain motivation and inspiration from others. So for people who obtain it from others, who they hang around with is even more important. And so before Abby started secondary school, I remember really waging war. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray for the right friends for my daughter. Father, I declare that you will surround her with good young people who will be a good influence in her and that she would be a good influence in their lives. I really prayed over it, you know, and when we would speak to her, so in the prayer closet, then say, don't worry, Abby, you're going to make awesome friends. You're going to meet some great people. I even remember my husband saying to her, Abby, you're going to make 8 really great friends. And that was fulfilled within a week. But you see, I remember praying about it. So what am I doing? You see, I'm saying, Lord God, I ask you to do that. And then there's an angel hearkening, listening, put your hand by your ear. Hearkening to the voicing of the word. Then she goes running off to go and find a friend for my daughter. Are you hearing? Angels hearken. That means they're listening. They go do it. They go find someone and they grab that person. They make sure they get into the right school. Are you hearing me? The angels are hearkening. They're responding. They are acting on the voicing, the speaking of the word of God. Thinking in any level is not as powerful as speaking. Speaking is more powerful. The Bible proves it. I'm not going to go into that more. But you see, so the first invisible beings, unless you're a seer, in which case you see them occasionally. I've never seen an angel. My husband has seen many, but I haven't. But they are hearkening to the voicing of the word. Now, you see, what are demons? Vanessa is not a demon. She's an awesome, wonderful person, but she's wearing red. What are demons? They're you know, most scholars and believe that they're fallen angels. You know, they got thrown out of heaven, and demons are fallen angels. So they have all the same characteristics, but just bent. Demons are bent, evil versions of angels. So what do you think they're doing? They're hearkening to the voicing of your words. When they hear you say, you know, thank you, Father, that you supply all my needs, they go, and they'll be whispering in the ears, oh, it's never going to happen. God said it, but it's never going to happen. But then when they hear, you know, us come out of our prayer closets, and you know, we've prayed over the bills, God come through, and then we get on the phone and say, it's never going to happen, they go, ha! go running off because they're hearkening to the voicing of the word still, but demonically. And let me tell you what they're doing. They're going to go get your money and steal it. They're going to hold back the very provision that God has for you. Are you getting this? You know, and they're listening. They're waiting on every word that you speak. You know, in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 6, if we can have that up there, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 6, you see, we see that not only do negative words release all of the enemy's cohorts to keep back our blessings, but listen to this, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error, oh, it's never going to happen. Oh, here we are again, and I thought it was a new year. And I thought I was, oh, but here we are, just the same old, husband hasn't changed, children are still being rude, bills are still landing on, oh, same old. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry? It hurts God. His anger is just for a moment. But I don't want to make him angry because, you know, really, what I'm doing is I'm believing doubt. I'm having faith in doubt rather than in God's promises. Why should God be angry or excuse and destroy the work of your hands? You see, God's heart is that we learn to be those who are maturing. You know, and in the new covenant, you know, and you can see so many examples of this. God isn't the one who's kind of putting people against you. It's that what you're doing is you are releasing the enemy to hold back the blessings of God. Remember what I said about the book of James? The more we grow in maturity, the more we will learn to take captive every thought and not let doubt out of our mouth. We need to see this as a very powerful instrument. And now for me, I want to look at the most important one. You see, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this. Hebrews chapter 3. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to explain that before I go to the next verse. So from a resurrected perspective, we understand who Jesus is when he walked on the earth, but he's not on the earth anymore. The Holy Spirit is. Amen? You know, they're a Trinity, so Jesus is in our heart, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven. So in heaven, this is who he is. He's the apostle and high priest. So the apostle is someone who is sent, who goes, who brings change. You know, the apostolic can break open territories, atmospheres, change things. But it's this word, high priest. A priest was just somebody who was between man and God. So the high priest was the one who was in between man and God, interceding. You read the Old Testament, high priests were intercessors. But what does it say? He's the high priest of our confession. Say it loud. He is the high priest of our confession. Now listen, of course, God listens to your prayers. But imagine the power of the only one who is perfect in faith. I mean perfect interceding. He is ever interceding, the Bible says. Jesus is our intercessor. But he's going to intercede based on what you say, not on what you pray. He's going to intercede based on what you say, not just on what you pray. I want us to look at Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's say it together. Let us hold fast our confession. In other words, what we say is just as important as what we pray. What I say after I've come out my prayer closet is just as important as the time I spend in my prayer closet. Because one is me praying, the other is me giving ammunition to the Son of the Almighty God, to God Himself, who is the Son, who will then pray what I say. You see, this year, I want to encourage you like never before to watch what you say. Because you see, let me show it like this. I'm in my prayer closet. I'm kneeling down. Lord God, I pray for my son. I pray for my daughter. Lord, let your will be done. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Father, I thank you that they're head and not the tail. That, Lord God, everything that you have spoken concerning them shall come to pass in Jesus' name. I come out of my prayer closet. Someone says, how are the children doing? I said, do you know what? And this is an illustration. Do you know what? It may have been tough for them. You know, they've gone through stuff, but let me tell you, God's will is going to be done in their lives. Suddenly he drops to his knees. Jesus, the great intercessor. You know what? God's will is going to be done in my children's life. And now he's interceding. You know what? I just know that no matter how the enemy tries to come against me, you know what? I just know that God's will shall be done. You know, I know that God is going to bring them out the other side of this trial, of this tribulation. Suddenly the angels are going. You know, they're out there. They're making sure that everything that I say is coming to pass in our lives, in my life. You see, and then here you've got this really fed up demon who's thinking, you know, I might even give up on this one. I might go and find someone else to pick on. Anyone would like that, that the devil thinks I'm going to find someone else to pick on. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that we shouldn't, in the book of Ephesians, that we should not give opportunity to the enemy. You know, even this morning, I spotted something came out of my mouth. You know, sometimes we kind of, you know, we feel excused. But he says, don't let God be angry with your excuses. The very time we feel excused. And I heard it and I was like, oh God, sorry. You know, and I heard myself saying, gosh, I haven't felt this exhausted for ages. You know, what does the Bible say? Let the poor say, let the weak say. So if I'm feeling exhausted, what I need to say is, Father, I thank you for supernatural strength. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that I am strong. Your word says that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Therefore, I am strong. And as I do that, the angels are going to be ministering to me. You know, that's what the Bible calls them, ministering spirits. They ministered to Jesus. The Bible says, in that time of wilderness, God wants the angels to minister to you. They're waiting for the voicing of his word. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, one of the best ways of resetting, you know, when you've got a default on a computer and, you know, the default on my phone, I decided suddenly that it had shrunk, the type size, my phone type size shrunk. It didn't really, but it looked smaller to me. So I had to go into settings and increase the default type size. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're saying, do you know what, God? I'm sorry for the way it's been. And I'm ready to live a new way. There is such power. You see, the word repentance, all it means is do 180 degrees. But as we do it, with a sorry in there. So right now, just shut your eyes in the presence of God. If you know that negativity has either often or just occasionally come out of your mouth, just take a moment right now. And it's probably all of us. But just take a moment right now just to apologize to the Lord for any area he may convict you of where doubt has come out of your mouth. And then just ask the Lord for a system reset. You know, the Holy Spirit is our helper. And this is a process of maturing, which means the Bible talks about taming your tongue. It's we need to train ourselves. So it's a day in, day out thing. It's not like you leave here and suddenly, necessarily, you get it all right. It's a process of training. So right now, if you're saying, God, I want you to train me. I'm going to train my own tongue. I am going to engage with this. And Lord God, I will not stop until I see my words being a weapon in my favor. Just lift both hands up to the Lord right now and just say to the Lord, Heavenly Father, my tongue is yours. Train me and help me to train my own tongue. Convict me when I miss it, that I may grow strong and mature, and that I may obtain every blessing, every breakthrough that you have for me and my loved ones in this year of Jubilee. Now give him a shout of praise.